Leviticus, chapter 16. Everybody ready? And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Excuse me. And he shall put the incense. Excuse me a second. Okay. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out. and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments, which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, and their flesh, and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and he shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins, once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Amen.
No.
You want me to say something?
No.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay, I think of, while I was reading this, I mean, when I did read it before, I was thinking of John 5:39, where Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these that those that testify for me." And when I read this, and last night I was reading this, and I thought to myself that we as a priest can go into the Holy of Holies. The veil was rent when Jesus Christ said, "It's finished." And you and I have the privilege, and I think sometimes even I don't realize how wonderful it is that we can go in to the Holy of Holies. And the priest had to go in only with blood, but we go in through Jesus Christ. I just thought it so wonderful, the privilege that we have to go into the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat is for others and for ourselves.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated, please. Thank you. Let's take the opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies and pray, please. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, in that name which is above every name, the lovely name, the peerless name, the spotless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come today, Lord. Oh, how we thank Thee for the privilege that we have access inside the veil. Oh, Lord, it's almost too much for us to understand fully, but we do thank Thee. We're inside the veil. We praise Thee for that, Lord. We have not had to go through all the exercises which we have read this morning with the goats, with the blood, with the incense, with the cloud, with all the things which are recorded here in Scripture, but we come directly inside the veil and talk with Thee. Oh, Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee. I rejoice with my brothers and sisters who are gathered here this morning that we pray together. I just articulate publicly, but in every heart there's a prayer going up to Thee, Lord. In every soul gathered here this morning, there's the deep desire to communicate with the God who has saved us through His Son's precious blood. And we thank Thee for the fact we're inside the veil. What a blessing. What a truth. What a glory. What a magnificent privilege we have inside the veil. Thank You, Lord. We have many needs before Thee, Lord. Our own congregation just in front of me and also myself. I include all of us, Lord. We all need Thee. We have many needs that some of which we cannot express to other people. But inside of our hearts, there is that deep longing to know the Lord, to have fellowship with Him, and to please Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou work amongst us in Thy gracious power. Thank Thee, Lord, for allowing us as a group of believers to come inside the veil and inside the Holy of Holies and talk with Thee face to face. We praise Thee, dear Father. It's more than we could ever ask for to realize this holy privilege that Thou hast extended to us. We do thank Thee and praise Thee. I pray for every brother here, every sister, every young person, every older person, whoever we are, Lord, before Thee. Grant to us the deep desire to open ourselves to Thee and talk with Thee and fellowship with Thee and express to Thee our love for Thee and for Thy Word. Grant us, O God, I pray. Move upon us in Thy risen power and cause us, Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, as Paul said in Philippians, and again to rejoice and to appreciate this privilege to be inside the veil. I want also this morning, Lord, to pray for those who are not well amongst us. not only those who are gathered amongst us here this morning, like Gene and Chuck and Brother Bill, but there may be others, Lord, who are not well. We lovingly remember them before Thee in prayer and ask, Lord, that Thou would graciously satisfy their physical needs. Thou art a God who heals as well as saves. And we don't dictate to Thee, Lord, how to do it, but we just pray that Thou would use the means that are available and the power of prayer to draw people who are not well, who belong to Thee, Father, to know the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never lost it. Often referred to as the ancient power, but it's the living power of the living Savior. And for those who really suffer, we pray Thy gracious hand to be upon them. We also want to pray this morning, Lord, for those who are bereft of their loved ones. And just this last week, particularly of our sister, Shirley Cornelagas. We lovingly remember her prayer. Thank You that she's here this morning with her daughter, Sula, and Christine, to sit there with her and to hear the Word of God. Comfort their hearts, Lord. Bring the peace that only God can give. And may they experience what God wants to give to the waiting heart that believes God and rests in Him. Thank You for this hymn we just sang. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. May our sister know that. And along with her, I think of Sunny Yoon, who's heart is still broken over what happened with her so suddenly as well. And there's Jean Belakovich. There's many people in our congregation, Lord, who have been left alone. And we just lovingly pray that the home in which they stay, the rooms in which they live, may be filled with Thy presence so that they are not experiencing the abandonment which seems to have come into their lives. And we'll praise Thee for it. We rejoice, Lord, that we have a privilege to pray for one another in this regard. And we do so from a heart of love and concern and interest. I want to pray also, Lord, for Thy blessing upon people around the world of whom we read in this little piece of paper that's put in our bulletins this morning, who suffer because they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have that problem. We have such a privilege to be here today, to be in a building like this, and not with any fear of somebody coming in here with guns or with blasts to blow us up. But we are quiet, as Mark was praying this morning earlier. This quiet little place, how we thank Thee, Lord, for the refuge Thou hast given us here. And we praise Thee for it, and we thank Thee. And we ask that Thou would generate in our hearts appreciation for the privileges which are bestowed upon us to worship the God of glory in this kind of way. And we'll praise Thee and thank Thee for it. We want to pray, Lord, for those who are suffering under religions like Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and others. Oh God, have mercy upon them, I pray. And bring the message of the gospel by radio or television or a missionary speaking at a little home or a little meeting of some sort. And we just pray that there might be many who will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. We thank Thee for our students who have finished their course this term and have gone away, some like Lem and Chin Yua, way to Singapore, and others have gone to places closer at hand But we just ask, Lord, that the students will be faithful where they go with their families, and throughout the summer months may they bear a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready to come back in the fall, if it please thee, Lord, to put themselves under the teaching of the Word of God in this place. I want also to pray for the Jewish people, Lord. Thou hast told us that we are the remembrances of Israel. And we are told that if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we shall prosper. And we want to do that, Lord, to remember the Jewish people and the dreadful situation which is prevailing in the Middle East because of their existence. And we think of what Iran has said, we're going to wipe you off the map. And Father, we just thank thee that there's a God in glory who has promised that he will not abandon his people, but that they will be preserved and they will be kept and ultimately dealt with once again with the return of the Messiah and reign for 1,000 years. Oh God, we thank thee and praise thee for this. So Lord, thank thee for the privilege to pray together, to seek thy face. We pray for our missionaries scattered throughout the world and different places, and they too need the support that we can make through prayer in this place. And we ask, Father, that our prayer this morning for ourselves, for our church, for missionaries, for peoples and situations throughout the world may be profitable, and that our praying has not been in vain, but it will reach to the very nostrils of God, the very ears of God, and he will respond and grant to us our petitions. We pray, Lord, in the precious name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and we'll thank thee for all thy goodness to us. We pray in his precious and worthy name with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. The bulletin has your announcements. I trust that you will take a notice of them. Come back tonight. Hear Pastor Matt give the Word of God. You have many, many opportunities to hear the Word. Take advantage of what everyone has given to you. We'll ask the brethren to come and receive our offerings as the Lord has honored you and blessed you. Give to him and give liberally as unto him. Thank you.
let us saints more, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Brother Duane, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please, for the offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just call to give thanks to Thee for the opportunity to be here, Lord, that we may be amongst those believers and just to praise Your name, Lord, and read what Your Bible has to say to our hearts, Lord. We now, Lord, bless these offerings that we give and guide us as to how these funds are to be used for the gospel, Lord, to a lost world, and that the glory may be given to Thee. For we ask all these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and thanksgiving.
Amen. Thank you. I failed to welcome our sister Sula. You know, for the life of me, I can't remember your last name, but you're a Cornelakis anyway. Yeah, and so glad you're here today, sister. Her husband was here also on Wednesday, and he's gone back. But Sula's going to stay with her mother for a couple of weeks, I understand. And that's wonderful. Just you'll have some sweet fellowship with your mom. Yeah. And the flowers which are here are leftovers from the funeral. And but the flowers fade.
But the Word of God endures forever. So I commend that to you, sister.
And the verse I gave you, Psalm 18, verse 30. May you just revel in that. The way, the Word of the... As for God, His way is perfect. It's hard to understand sometimes, but we can trust Him and believe Him. Yeah. God bless you. And for all of you, we just thank you for being here this morning, participating with us in the service. I believe Bill Smith is going to sing for us, and then we'll sing a verse of a hymn for the children to go out after he has finished. Thank you.
I just want to make one correction in the bulletin that I didn't get to Matt and Naomi. The Awana program, instead of the potluck, so you don't have to bring food, we're going to have a carnival night, and it will be not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. So I just want to make a correction in there that Mrs. Reed pointed out to me. So.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is not a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my friend. My heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until then, my eyes beyond the city. Until the day. This weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon, when and things of earth that cause our hearts to tremble.
Brother was singing to for us that just a little word of wisdom for those of you who are children in a family. Brother Bill and Margo went to see Bill's father and mother a couple of weeks ago, and I commend them for that. Do not forget your parents. You only have them once. And my wife and I have regrets about that because we were going to go see her mother, and we were going to see her, and we were going to go and see her, and we didn't go. And then suddenly the Lord took her, and that was it. You can go and visit then at the funeral home, but that's not the same. See? So I encourage you that if you have parents who are living, you don't have to live with them, but don't forget them. I think that passage in Scripture that a man should take a wife and they're to leave their father and mother and be joined to the couple, it doesn't say abandon them. And I think that we need to be reminded of that from time to time, that parents are here for a little while and then they're gone. And there's no sense bringing flowers at the end, you know, or making a big ado at the cemetery when you've failed to take account of them during their lifetime. And I encourage you along that line. God bless you in that regard. Well, let's sing, Brother Dave, and then we'll... Have we got some children to take out today? All right. Thank you very much. Let's do that. Thank you.
I'm going to take your hymnal and turn to 407, hymn 407, and please stand as we sing All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Jesus, let me all know.
Shall we pray before we study the Bible, please? Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, it is not in man that walks to direct his steps. We acknowledge this. But we do thank thee that thou hast taught us, thou wilt lead us with thine own eye in all of our ways, and we praise thee for that. Now, Lord, we come to study the Bible, thy word. Oh, Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy precious word. And illuminate us, we pray, Lord, by the Spirit of God, to understand this passage and to benefit from it and go away saying, I'm glad I was there this morning to learn the word of God. We ask in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I want to remind you that the book of Hebrews was written for at least three different groups. One were people who had believed in Jesus as their true Messiah and Lord. As a consequence, they needed some support and some encouragement because they were going through some trials. They did make the right choice. You might have the same situation come to you from time to time. I wonder if I did the right thing to believe in Jesus. The point of the book of Hebrews is you Jewish people did do the right thing. He is your Messiah, and there's plenty to encourage your heart. The second group of people, I think, were people who were interested but did not have enough to make the proper decision, reasons for believing. And this book was written to give them more reasons why they should believe. There was another group that were not interested at all, as it were. They were not convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, and therefore information had to be given to help them. The portion we're dealing with today and last week, that Jesus Christ is the one who provided a brand new covenant for us. That's so important for us. It's an argument on the Apostle Paul's agenda to say this is one more reason why you ought to be thankful as a believer. You who are sort of in between, another reason why you need to believe. And for those people who had no interest whatsoever, it's high time you take an interest in the Messiah. So think as you study with me this morning. That's what's behind the argument this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. I don't make any apologies for reviewing and recapitulating what's here because we so soon forget. And that's why I said, don't forget. And I did it seven times, don't forget. And the first is, don't forget what you read in verse number 11 down to 14. In verse number 11, but Christ having come, that's a brand new priesthood. You remember, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It came not from Levi, but from Judah. This is very important. A brand new priesthood. I want to remind you of the testimony of John chapter 1, verse 17. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There was a change. Those who are non-dispensationalists have a hard time to deal with that passage. There was a big change. And one of the big changes was Christ having come, a brand new priesthood. Then you notice in verse number 11, there's a brand new tabernacle. He speaks of a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. The one that was made in hands was outlined in the book of Exodus. But there's another one, another tabernacle. We'll study about that this morning. The third is a better sacrifice. You'll notice that 12 says, neither by the blood of goats, bulls and goats, but, verse number 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, that's a better sacrifice, not animals of which we read this morning, I thank the Lord for every one of those verses. It may have been tedious for you to go through Leviticus 16. Can you imagine having to go through Leviticus 16 here this morning? Or one day to say, well, we've got to get the priest out, get his garments on, and go through the paraphernalia. We don't have to do that. We've got a better sacrifice, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's a better work. I take that from the little phrase in verse number 12. Once he went into the holy place. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Once. Epipax. Once and for all. We have a hymn in our hymnal like that. And it's good for us to remember. Once for all. O sinner, believe it. Once for all. No more law. It's all grace and mercy and benignity through the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's a better redemption, which is mentioned in verse number 12. That word obtained in the King James Version is really from the word to be found. God has located for us a brand new eternal redemption. A better priesthood, better tabernacle, a better sacrifice, a better work, and a better redemption. And finally, there are some better results. I want to remind you about this because you can't read this anyplace else except in the book of Hebrews. You have the conscience purged in verse number 14. And then out of the purged conscience comes a service for the living God, a divine service. And then out of that comes in verse number 15, a mediation of a new covenant. These are the better results that come for us, all listed there in these wonderful things that have taken a change since our Lord Jesus Christ has come, verse number 11. May I reemphasize what Monty Mills suggested to himself? For the first time in his life, he realized that we're saved to serve. I would check up on myself, my brother, sister. What am I doing? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. We say that over and over again. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. What are you doing? I often think about polishing shoes. I polished my shoes last night, by the way. I hope they look pretty nice. I tried. But I didn't do my wife's because she's not here today. But normally I do hers also. When you get married, there is division of labor, I guess. And that was one of my jobs. Well, when Jonathan got old enough, he did the shoe polishing. We never did get Stephen and David to get involved. But now it's my job. And I do my own polishing the shoes. And I asked the good lady, do you want your shoes polished? And she said, well, of course I do. So I polish her shoes. It's a wonderful thing that once you get into a relationship, then you serve the Lord. Once you have a relationship, you serve the Lord. If you got a relationship with a spouse, you serve the Lord in that relationship. Number three, don't forget that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. I want you to read that paragraph with me to be sure you do not forget. We believe that the covenant is between God the Father and God the Son. Believers are the beneficiaries. We get what they have decided for us in a covenant relationship. We are not contracting parties at all whatsoever. We are the recipients of all that they have done for us. God is one. We get that in Galatians chapter 3. And God makes the covenant himself. It's not contracting parties like it was between God and Moses. Please remember that. That's a very important. As a consequence, we have an eternal covenant in chapter 13, verse 20. Very, very important, my friend. And remember that God is arguing for the Jewish people to see the covenant relationship. After all, there was the covenant with Abraham. There was the covenant with Israel, the Palestinian or Israeli covenant. There was the Davidic covenant. There was the new covenant. All in the Old Testament. The word covenant is very, very important. I don't want to go to bat with you once again, but I do say that the word testament in verse 16, 17, and 18 is a mistranslation of the word diatheke. And my argument is not against the King James Version. I am 100% for that. I have no qualms whatsoever. But what I'm concerned about is the text of Scripture. The text of Scripture. By the way, I got a call yesterday afternoon from Michael Yeep from Sydney. And he was telling me that Dr. Ng and his wife have been married, well, they didn't tell you how many years, but they had a wedding reception for them. I suppose they've been married about 40 or 50 years. I don't know how many years. But we got to talking then about the Bible and what I was going to preach on this morning. And I just happened to mention that I felt that that particular translation, diatheke, should be rendered a covenant and not a testament. You're not asking the Lord to make a will to give you something. It's God who has made the covenant between Himself, the Father, and the Son, and we are the great beneficiaries. Praise His wonderful name. We are the benefactors of His covenant with us. And then I say, don't forget the conditions of this covenant. Clearly marked, please, in verse 16, there's got to be a death. And there was a death. Our Lord died. In verse number 18, there was blood, and His blood was spilled. It was poured out. Oh, don't you like that? The poured out blood because of the death of Christ. And by the way, don't fall prey to the idea that death is all you need to talk about and forget the blood. There's got to be the blood. Our friend on the West Coast, I understand he reneged on that. If he has, fine, I don't know about it. But anyway, he always emphasized the fact that, well, it's the death, not the blood. It is important. Because it says so. And there you have it in verse number 18. It was not dedicated without blood. And the word for dedicated, by the way, don't forget that. That blood was used to enjoin all that God had said in Exodus chapter 22 and 23. I quoted here from Josephus. If you don't know who he is, well, let me tell you just briefly. He was a Jewish historian, and he's the one who says that, as far as he understands, that the law was sealed with blood. It doesn't say that in our text in Exodus chapter 24. It uses oil, but that's all right if the tradition is correct. Even if it weren't correct, we believe what the Bible says here in Hebrews. See? You got to be careful that you don't go to the Old Testament and say, well, it doesn't say that. But if it says it here, you believe it because God put it there. We believe in what we call progressive revelation. What was in the Old Testament is continued. But in the New Testament, new things are brought to our attention. And we just thank the Lord for it and say, well, thank you, Lord, for telling me that. I didn't read that back there in Exodus, but I read it here. So, you said it, that's enough for me. And you're on solid ground as long as you believe what the Bible has to say. And then don't forget what is said in verses 21 and 22. This is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Did you notice the word almost there? And I've given you some illustrations in the Old Testament where there was something done without blood. That's why he says almost, skedan, almost all things. Don't miss a word in your Bible. The thens, the therefores, the wherefores, the ands, the almost, they all belong in there. Take them for face value, just exactly what they say. And I'd like to just remind you that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that provides remission. That's why he says in verse number 22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. I referred a couple of weeks ago to the butcher shop religion, which has been we've been accused of. We still have it, the butcher shop religion, because you can't have the remission of sins without the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you stop and think about that, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a very nice thing. When we had Mr. Steak over here on the on Stadium Boulevard, where the piano company is now, I knew the man who was in charge there, who owned the place. And I said to him one day, I want to go back and see what's in the kitchen. Oh, he says, you don't want to go back there. I said, well, I do. I couldn't believe these fellas had rubber boots on, and they had aprons, rubber aprons on, and there was meat all over the place and blood. And I just said, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have come back here. I don't know whether I want a steak anymore. But just think about what the Lord went through, the shedding of his precious blood. Yeah. And never give an inch on that, my friend. No matter what people say, that death is the same as blood. You say, fine. But in this text, he uses the two words, death on the one instance, verse 16, and then in verse 18, he uses the word blood to remind us that both were necessary, his death and his blood. Now, on the basis of that recapitulation, quickly I want to take you to verse 23 and 24. You notice that what 23 says, it was therefore, on the basis of what I've told you, therefore, you've heard me say this before and it's worthy of repetition. Whenever you see a therefore in your Bible, ask yourself why it's therefore. There's a purpose. This is a progression. He's basing his argument on what he's already said. Therefore, it was necessary. Anangay. It was an actual compulsion. There's no way to get around this. This is a compelling thing that had to be done. It was therefore necessary. Well, what was necessary? Verse number 23, that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. That the patterns of things in the heavens should be patterned, purified with these. That immediately tells you there's something up there which is a model. But now the things that are down here, the earthly things which are down here, need to be purified. Have you ever asked yourself why all these things that we read about this morning, for example, were absolutely necessary? Well, Israel was a camp, but a camp of sinners. No question about it. And the terrible things that went on in Israel's history make you full of shame and disgust. A people chosen by God, Deuteronomy chapter 7. But their attitudes towards the Lord were oftentimes just beyond your comprehension. And I take it that, as I've said in the notes, there was a need for purification because of the tabernacle was in the midst of a group of people who were sinners. They were in, it was in the camp. I'll show this just now in Leviticus, but take it for granted right now that the tabernacle was in the camp and the camp was filled with people who were full of sin, uncleanness, and there needed to have purification. Now it says here that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. The pattern means the figures, the copies, which are from heaven. Please don't forget this. Moses did everything which he was told, Exodus chapter 40, because of what he saw in the heavens. You say, you mean there's a tabernacle in heaven? I don't know. Well, whatever he had was a statement of what the model was to be like, whether it's actually physically there or just in vision form or inspirational form. The point is that there's some way by which God said, this is the way it has to be. You get into a more important issue when you come to the end of 23 and going into 24. So hang on, please. Everything that Moses did was in concert with what he saw in his report from. Let's read that, Exodus 25, verse 40, just to support that for you. Exodus 25 and verse 40. Not that you don't believe it, but it might be helpful for you to see it. Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So when he was on the mount, he had the revelation from God. And there he saw what God wanted him to build here on earth. That's why it says here in Hebrews, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. And what were the patterns? What Moses was to build down here on the earth. These are earthly things. What was in heaven was now to be produced down here on earth. And they were to be purified. Would you notice, please, in one of the passages we read this morning, Leviticus chapter 16, I want to show you this. This is very interesting and very exciting. I couldn't wait to get here this morning and give this message. I preached about three times to my wife, so she knows it. Leviticus 16, verse 16. He shall make an atonement for the holy place. Now notice, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Look at verse number 19. The uncleanness of the children of Israel. Please don't say that you got a bunch of good people. You got a bunch of bad people. And because of that, God outlined this Day of Atonement. And therefore, the tabernacle that was the figure of what was up there had to be purified. Katharizo. The very word for to make pure. Now, what about the heavenly things? Go back to the Hebrews passage, please. It was therefore necessary, an absolute compelling item, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. I would take that the word with these is in reference to the animal sacrifices which we read about this morning on the Day of Atonement. The animal sacrifices purified what was there in the tabernacle. But, and here's an adversative but, the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. I know everybody asks the question that nobody knows the answer for. Things in heaven have to be cleaned up. Well, that's what it says. I give you a suggestion as to why that is. Whether it's the right one, I am not prepared to go to the mat about. But it satisfies my own heart. that God has brought into heaven sinners saved by grace, washed in the blood, but the contamination that we bring may be that which God says, okay, I got to clean up this place as well. It's a possibility. I don't know. We are sinful men who are taken to glory. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that God saves people like you and me and takes ready to take us to glory and to spend eternity in heaven? Man, I wash my hands 1,000 times a day. I go into men's restrooms in public and I always take a piece of paper to open the handle to get out. Because I see what goes on sometimes. I can't believe it. I say, man, so I want to be clean. Now, if that's an earthly situation, what is it a bunch of us who are sinners saved by grace taking up to glory and into this spotless position with an eternal God? He says you got to be purified. You got to go through the bathtub first. Did you ever go into a public place where you have to take a shower before you go into the pool? A cold shower and then you can go to the pool. I always wondered, why do they worry about me having the shower first? I'm not going to use soap and water. It's just the water. But and then to go into the pool, you have to get that shower first. I don't know what the purpose is, but at least this is what the Lord says has to be done. Even if we don't have an answer, the point is, God said it, and we just believe it because God said it. That's a tough one, isn't it? My sister, who just held her husband's hand, and he went to glory just like that. Man, and to say that you walk by faith, that you have to believe God is what He is, and that your husband's gone to be with the Lord. You believe that stuff. We walk by faith. Habakkuk says that. Romans says it. Hebrews says it. We walk by faith. We trust. We believe. I don't know how in the world some people's, at times like this, our sister may have had that said to her, well, what do we do in times like this? Well, if people don't know the Lord, what do they do? We know the Lord, so it makes a big difference. But even knowing the Lord, you must believe what He has to say. If you don't, we do not walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by anything but trusting God. What a terrific word that is. As a matter of fact, R.A. Torrey, Reuben Archer Torrey, the great Bible teacher, said that the greatest lesson that we have to learn is to trust God. No question about it. Hands down, that's the biggest thing. We do believe the Bible. We do believe that Jesus Christ died for us. But then we walk by faith once we're saved. You just keep on the same way. There's no other way. Now somebody says, you're a cop-out. You don't believe reality. Yes, we do. Well, look at verse number 24. Here are the better sacrifices than these. There's the ones that were in the Old Testament. But Christ, for, he keeps his argument going. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. Christ is not in the... Would you put that thing, put that light on there, brother, for me? Christ is not in the holy place. You see, the Holy of Holies, He didn't go into that thing which is made with hands. But He went to heaven, and there was a Holy of Holies there. Inside the veil, like our brother was reading this morning. The veil was between the holy place and that little square just before that, the altar of incense, just before that. And inside that veil was broken when the Lord Jesus was crucified. The veil was rent in twain. And this is what the Bible says. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands like Moses did. It's not a figure now, a pattern of things, but this is the real stuff. That's why we read in verse number 24, which are the figures of the true. But he went into heaven itself. I don't know how to communicate this to you. Let me try. God's Son went right into the abode of God the Father. I've given you some text on that. He went right where God Himself was. Where is that? Somewhere up there. Because He is taken up. I must read you a couple of verses, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Sorry, 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse number 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Goodness, he can't be more plain than that. He was taken up to heaven. And that's what Hebrews says. He went, Christ is not entered, but into heaven itself, the very abode of God. Where is that? I don't know, but it's got to be up someplace. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. A similar statement is made. I don't know why these pages are so to stick together. Excuse me. 24:51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Right where God himself is, that's where he went. You remember the John passage, 14, verses 1 and 2. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 28, he also deals with the fact that he's where the Father is. My dear brother, if you believe in the resurrection, just remember where he went and where he is today. He's in the very presence of the Father at the right hand, it says in that Mark passage. Well, what's he doing there? I wanted you to get these three statements that are at the end of verse number 24. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. I wrote three nows. I have to type with my one finger. That's all I know how to do. So I did it three times. Now, now, now. It's the little word nun in the Greek. Can you imagine? You ask, where's God? It's God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Well, he's now in the presence of the Father. When we say absent from the body, present with the Lord, we mean the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need God the Father as well as the Holy Spirit. A person that leaves this life, who is a true child of God, is with the Lord. Where is the Lord? He's now in the presence of the Father. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are omnipresent, I understand. Jesus is the only one who had a body, but he went there, and he's there. Your loved one is with him there. Now, 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 now. Oh boy, that's glorious. I'd put an exclamation mark after everyone. Now, now, now. Not sometime, or perhaps, but he is there now. Let me just push on a little bit more here, please. Now to appear. I think this is a passive verb, to appear openly, to appear without any question that he's in the presence of the Father. He's not there to sit. He's there to appear, to make himself known. The word that's used there, I've given to you in the notes, emphanisthai, thenai, is a passive verb, infinitival, in form. He's appearing there. He's in open position there in the presence of the Father. It's not a phantom. It's not some ethereal thing. It's real. And then you'll notice it says he's there to appear in the presence of God. The word for presence is really the word for face, prosopon. That's fantastic. Back there in Leviticus chapter 16, what did the high priest do? He had incense. There was the cloud. There was the shadowy stuff. It was hazy. Have you ever been in a place like a Roman Catholic church or a Greek Orthodox church where they have the incense and the cloud and all that stuff? Well, that's what was there in Leviticus chapter 16. But now, there's a difference. But now, he appears not because of a cloud or incense or burning. He appears in the very face of God, face to face. That's incredible. But the Old Testament says you cannot see God. But Jesus sees him. Boy, that's wonderful. And your loved one who's gone to be with the Lord is right in the presence of the Father, face to face. There's no incense, no clouds, no nothing. You know, chapter 8 of this is a very interesting little phrase. Chapter 8, verse 5. It says, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Those are examples, but shadows, and a pattern at the end of the verse. But now, he appears face to face with the Father. Oh, my brother, dwell on that with your thinking and spend time just to meditate and where loved ones are, where the Savior is. We had a gift given to us a couple of days ago of something that we probably would not buy, some blackberries. It was a little container, about so large. And so we've been taking out four, two for her, two for me. And then put some ice cream with it. And all I can say is that this was a real treat. I mean, blackberries at this time of the year? This is the cherry on the top of the ice cream. Oh, this is blackberries on the top. And what a delight. And that's what the Lord has given to us. The last two words in your text there, verse number 24. Now to appear in the presence of God for himself. It doesn't say that, but for us. I'm telling you, it sends goose pimples up my back when I think of this. This is not what you would expect. You'd think that because of his triumph over death, his fulfilling of all that was supposed to be done as the Son of God in full submission to the will of the Father. Now he's there. Well, Heavenly Father, I did it all. So give me the star on my crown. Give me something on my lapel. I did it. It doesn't say that. He's gone up there now to appear face to face with the Father for me, for you, for us. Fantastic. What a way to end a verse and a sermon. For me. Oh boy, that's great. When you do something for somebody else and not get glory for yourself. Now this is something. I talked to this doctor who's supposed to perform the surgery for my wife. You'd be appreciated. I'm sitting looking at Christina because she knows this man and she works in the operating room. So he said, well, I want you to see this PA and that PA. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I said, that's very interesting. I thought we were asking you to be the surgeon. He says, well, they do all this stuff and I get all the glory. I thought that was interesting. They do this and this and this and this, and I get all the glory. But that's not exactly what the Lord said. He said, I do the whole thing, and I get up there, and you know why? I'm here for you, not for myself. What a joy it must be to have the fellowship of the Father and the Son after the 3.5 years down here and the cruel cross and all that stuff. And now he's there. And he says, you know what I'm here for? For them down there. That's terrific. He gets all the glory, but we are sharers. I think this is part of the covenant, my friend. See, we are the beneficiaries of what he's done for us. What a wonderful thing. I'm so glad I'm saved. Naomi, I wish you'd sing sometime again so I can hear it. That one about wonderful to be a Christian. Yeah. We have that on a tape at home. And when it comes, it's number 13. And I push the thing, get back and play it about 6 or 7 times. And every time I play it, I push it up higher. Wonderful to be a Christian. Why didn't the Jewish people believe him? I mean, why did Paul have to write a book under inspiration of the Spirit to say, hey, you did the right thing. Why don't you believe? Don't you see this? Everything's better. This is much better. It's the much more stuff. And just remember that. And I trust that you will remember that. Don't forget this stuff, my friend. Don't just say, well, I went to church and pastor preached on this stuff, but so what? No, come on. So what is? What has happened in your life when you're sitting here this morning listening to these wonderful truths from these two verses as well as the ones we've preceded? May the Lord bless you and prosper in your heart the work and will of God until we see the Lord face to face. Just like our sister's husband, shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, I want to thank Thee this morning for the privilege to stand here and read with the people of God in this congregation the Word of the Lord. Oh, Father, we thank Thee. We praise Thee. We are not worthy of the least of Thy favors, but Thou hast given us this marvelous privilege to expose ourselves, to listen to what years ago, in the days of the Apostle Paul, he was instructed to write by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee. We thank Thee for a Bible that records the message so that we can benefit from it. And may we prize it. May we take it better than silver and gold and precious stones. The Word of the living God, and we'll be careful to praise Thee. Lord, we thank Thee, we adore Thee, we worship Thee this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.